speaking today with Lonnie Allsbrooks, who is a candidate for City Council at Large number 1. Lonnie, first question I like to ask people is, why are you running for this office?
I am running for at-large position 1 so I can bring back the true meaning of public service. I feel as a small business owner that with some of the experiences that I've had to go through, that the true meaning, the true service is not there. So I feel like I have something to offer with my 27 years of experience.
Okay, now you are a small business owner, as you say. Would you say that, how would you describe Houston's climate for small businesses, and how do you think it could be improved?
I think there's a lot to offer here. I think the small businesses are very successful. I think there's a lot of talent and entrepreneurs, people who have been in business for a long time, I think need incentives to keep them in business, especially during the difficult time that we're in now. And one way that I would say that is, helping them if they save money in certain areas, one like the garbage dumpster. We pay all small business owners have to bring in an individual company like Republic Waste or something like that, and we pay $150 to $300 depending on the size of the container. We're not using any service by the City of Houston. So why do we have to pay City of Houston a permit fee at the beginning of our opening our business? It's just things like that that's unnecessary, that we could save little, if we dissected it, we could help the entrepreneurs and stay in business and keep them in business. And we also need to reach out to the new people who are trying to get in to open up their small business of any sort. And one thing that I would like to do is form a group, like a Big Brother, Big Sister program in business, to where I have one owner of an ice cream shop, an owner of a shoe store, a beauty salon, whichever kind, and if there's something I'm not experiencing, when a new person opens up in that area, then I can call them, they can reach out, and that kind of guides them through the whole beginning process of opening a business. But we just need to have more incentives, we need to help them, we need to reach out. When they call down the city, we need to go back and return their phone calls in any way we can to help them out and stay in business.
Now, I mean, the business you own is a bar that features live music. How would you describe Houston's entertainment scene in terms of live music and, you know, bars that host them? And again, what, if anything, could City Council do to improve that?
Well, one, in my bar, we only do live music maybe 4 times a year. We do it for the large special occasion. And the reason I do that is only because it's a neighborhood, you know, involved in the middle of the neighborhood. I want to respect the neighbors. We do it St. Patrick Day, White Lantern. Actually, White Lantern, I'm not going to do it, but all major events. Yeah, I'm a strong, one thing that I'm pushing in my campaign, I'm a strong supporter of the arts, and that means arts of all kinds. When I took In the Heights, which is an historical area, which people are wanting to keep the existing properties and buildings, I took no fill station that had been a couple other places and brought it to what I thought was a local bar you would go to, like in Bahamas or on an island or something like that. Now, would I like to do a lot more things to it? But I can't, because when you are in a small business, you are a small business owner, you continuously have issues like fighting the city. Fighting the city meaning like ordinances that are not enforced by, you know, they place these ordinances and they don't enforce them to everyone. They don't have enough people to go around to enforce them. And an example, the fence around your garbage dumpster. I've been there 4 years. Just 3 months ago, I was told after 4 years I need to place a fence. Why after 4 years am I, and why am I and two other places told, when two parks in the City of Houston in the Heights area do not have fences around them? Kroger, major corporations don't have them. So we just need to be consistent. We need to make sure that we're following the rules and everything, enforcing them for everyone. And to go back to what I was basically saying, or what your question was on the arts and everything, one of the things that I would definitely like to help out with, the music industry, the talent here in Houston is incredible. Bringing in entertainment, we've got to have support from our leaders to get the next Super Bowl, to get the next, you know, big event here in Houston. We just can't, like, support them for that weekend or for the upcoming big event. We've got to support them all the time, because everybody's affected by every visitor that comes through this city. They go to a movie, they go to a dinner, they go to a bar or restaurant. So where the bars and restaurants or the hospitality service is the largest employed community in the United States. And you would think each large city would strongly help and support them.
Okay. You mentioned your business is in the Heights, a historic neighborhood. Houston is not really known for being friendly towards historic preservation. There's been some stuff before council about that, and it's likely to be an ongoing battle. What's your take on statutes, ordinances to enable neighborhoods to do more for historic preservation?
Well, I definitely think like the older neighborhoods like River Oaks, the Montrose area, most of the Interloop, downtown, the Heights, buildings, there's a lot of history here in Houston, tons of it. We definitely should try to preserve them. Each associations that we have in each of these communities, we have great associations. They need to work together. They need to work with their council person, and they need to follow. You can't say like right now what's going on White Oak Drive. You've got one group that want less crime, so you've got developers coming in that are trying to work with the associations to get it the Heights, Victoria, kind of New Orleans Ville vibe to it. And then you got this other group that don't want you to knock down any building at all. They want you to take the structure. But then it's hard to do that you can only do so much with so much money and try to redevelop it into something that's profitable. So we're going to have to work one way. One, crime is a big problem in the Heights. It has been since 4 years I've been there. It's picked up, even more so since the economy's gotten bad. When I leave my establishment, sometimes late in the evening, I'm the only place that has any lights. It's a ghost town. No security, no police, no anything. So, I know I'm going off all some of your questions and stuff like that, but the reason why I bring all this up and everything, it's like types in most areas that have questions about the historical areas, which buildings should be saved and stuff like that, is we're not going to please everyone, but we do need to keep, in almost all the old neighborhoods, we need to keep the history of our buildings and our properties.
Okay. City Council recently passed an ordinance that would put restrictions on signage on businesses, mostly on new businesses. Some people who criticized that said that that's not a good thing for small businesses to attract, or for attracting small businesses. What's your take on that?
Well, start off, I'd like to say, is before the City Council places a new ordinance in effect, we need to make sure our existing ordinance are being enforced. And if we don't have enough people enforcing our city ordinance that are already in existing, then how are we able to, why do we keep coming up with these new ordinances when they're there, that they're only being enforced when you upset somebody at the city council, or if you upset with somebody in the neighborhood association, and then those ordinances start being enforce on you. And that's not one. I think it's unfair. Two, I think we get way too many ordinances that are unnecessary, that almost keep from entrepreneurs to go out and to open up a new business. I'm grandfathered in. Most of the small businesses are already grandfathered in from that. I think that is basically setting up major little, it's almost worth for me to go get a sign company now to, because there's going to be sign companies that are going, you have to get a certain type of sign in a certain area. You're going to be told that you have to get something like that in a shopping center. And that's not, any neighborhood in the Interloop, it's not what that's all about. We're all about individuality, our artistic experiences and talents, and I'm totally against that ordinance, 100%.
Okay. As you know, these are kind of tough economic times. The city recently passed its budget that had across-the-board cuts. What is your take right now on the city's financial position and going forward, assuming that, it takes a little while for the economy to really start improving, what should the city be doing in these tighter times to maintain its economic viability?
One, I think Mayor Bill White has done a great job in the last 6 years. I think we have some Drake candidates that are coming up that I've looked over a couple of their budgets, and I think Anise Parker has a great experience as a city controller. I've seen what she's done in budgeting and offering for the future. I think I think the city's in probably one of the best situations that we are in. Like most cities in the United States are having much more difficult time. Houston's economy is great still. I think we need to, like I said, if it's not for small business right now, with the problems that we're having with large corporations, our economy would be a disaster here in most not large cities. So we need to reach out and help them. We need to have a sentence to have the people who were planning to open up small business, help them get them in business, and maybe it's deleting the permits. To, you know, let's take off some of those permits. There's a permit for every little thing. Let's take half of those permits off and get them in there. Let's get those businesses open. That'll help the economy. The businesses that are in business now, we've got one closing almost every other day, or if not every day. We've got restaurants, tons of bars and restaurants, and beauty salons and t-shirt shops, stuff like that, out in the suburbs. Closed. You look at, you know, if you want to buy any kind of restaurant equipment or any kind of beauty salon equipment, you basically can go on Craigslist or anything and buy it cheap. Restaurant supplies, people are going out of business. So we've got to figure out how to stop businesses from closing. That's one. I think that we're still, we're way ahead than most of the large cities. I think, I don't think we'll probably get too, hopefully we won't get too bad with the economy here in Houston, but just basically we need to work together and keep from business from closing. And I, you know, the other incentives is just, you know, following the guidelines of our, you know, our leaders in our community. I think Bill White, you know, he's done a good job, and I think whoever is going to be the next mayor, I'm sure will help keep the economy here strong, and hopefully I'll be able to help out with that situation.
Okay. Metro, as you know, is breaking ground now on the north and southeast light rail lines. They started construction earlier on the east end line. There's still universities and uptown lines. All this is supposed to be done hopefully 2012, probably more likely 2013. If you were elected to city council this November, you would most likely serve through the end of 2015. So where in the next few years, do you want to see Metro go from where they are now? What do you want to see them do next? What do you want to see them doing?
Do you want to know what I thought should start at the beginning? Because at the beginning, I think, first of all, there should have been a plan, and whatever that plan was from the beginning should have been set stone and stayed with. We got this rail that we've been struggling with. We got had it in place before the Super Bowl. I still don't think there was a set stone plan when we first, you know, signed on for this. I think it became a mess. If it was supposed to go over there off of Richmond, it should have went over there. Now we've got the, you know, each area, certain people don't want the rail going through their neighborhoods. We should have, before we even started this project, there should have been a set stone plan developed, period. And I just, you know, I have to, it's basically broke ground the other day. I think, one, we definitely need to be a mass transportation city. I've lived here almost all my life. I just, you know, with crime and with Houston being such a large city, I think we should have started with the metro out in the suburbs and got them into town. And we should have started the first one when we were building I-10 out of Katy, and we did all that construction. What a great time it would have been to go ahead and start the metro there. And I mean, I'm a strong supporter on metro, you know, mass transportation, using cabs, saving fuels like that. But when we start building these large projects like this, our city needs to have a plan before we starting a project.
You've mentioned crime a few times. That's always a concern, certainly around election time. What, if anything, should city council be doing to aid HPD in reducing crime and, you know, dealing with citizens' concerns about crime?
Well, one thing is that I'm also sort of enforced or introducing to the people who don't, the city of Houston, who don't know me because of that, I don't have political a name in the neighborhood or in our city, is back in the mid-90s, the Montrose Westheimer, or early 90s, had a large crime rate. With the help of Michael Griffin, he and some of the association, the Adult Association, and we basically worked together with neighbors, residential, all the residents, business owners, both all associations, and the Houston Police Department. We've got to have meetings. We've got to work together. The police can't do it by themselves. The security companies can't do it by themselves. The alarms, people are going to break into your house. People forget that they've got to lock their doors. We're going to have to watch out for each other. That means, like, we're going to have to come up with neighborhood crime watch programs, better ones. Ones that we are continuously riding bikes around the neighborhoods. We're informing our neighbors that we're going out of town or we're having a visitor, so strange cars on the streets parked at the house. Just anybody's strange, unidentified vehicle coming to the neighborhood should be aware, and we're going to have to work together as a team, a whole city. But starting that means each district councilperson has to work with their associations. And, you know, we have a great Houston Police Department, and we need to, at 3, 4 in the morning, especially in the inner loop area, we need to make sure that when most of the city is asleep, we need to make sure that they're visible, they're right around the neighborhood, and not at Jack in the Box with 15 police cars in one area, or 15 police cars at around 5 or 10. We need to have all the Houston Police Department out on the streets in the middle of the night, not out eating on breakfast because everyone else is sleeping. And I'm not saying they're all like that, and I'm not saying they don't deserve breaks and, you know, times like that, but we're counting on them. We're paying our tax money. We need to be protected. So we, you know, the police department that we are depending on, they need to be out there protecting us.
Okay. We will be electing a new mayor as well this November. In what ways would you like the new mayor to be like Mayor White, and what ways would you like the new mayor to not be like Mayor White?
I think Mayor White's done, you know, you're not going to please everyone. I think Mayor White's done a great job, especially one thing during the hurricane. I thought the city did an incredible job on that. I would say whenever a small business owner or any owner of any or any individual in a neighborhood, if you're calling your mayor's office or you're calling your city council representative, they need to return the call. They need to at least give them the respect. If it's someone's called 15 times, you know, it's just for a little pothole. I mean, not a little pothole, but maybe a big pothole. But, I mean, just continuously call every day. That's a different story. But if someone just vaguely, you know, or just randomly calls, and there's obviously they're calling for a reason. I've had some recent experience on White Oak as I was trying to open up another business, and I did everything that has, you know, your guidelines to do it. I have 27 years in this business. I understand what the rules are. I'm not trying to break them. I was basically trying to, once again, these hard economic times, bring a new cafe down on White Oak Drive where the new bike trail is, and I thought what a great thing would be to bring coffee and quiche and open at 8 o'clock in the morning and serve paninis and salads and have a nice glass of wine and beer. Not a big hangout with kids and stuff like that, but just something to offer. First thing I did before I signed the lease, I went down to the one office, which is the office that you go down to get a location check to serve alcohol. I got it, not the next day, 75 days later, or 60 days later, I'm told something different. Well, to move on, I called my city. We didn't have a District H rep at that time because of Adrian Garcia moving forward, and I was told to call another one. I called all nine representatives. I called every district, every at-large mayor's office. As of today, on my third time around, I've only received one phone call, and that was the beginning from the secretary in the Noriega's office, and I have not received any other phone calls from any mayor's office, from any council, or any lawyer from the city of Houston, and I think that's horrible. When we're saying small business are never one of our top priorities in our city, I think that the city leaders need to reach out to small business owners and help them out when they at least call and they're having issues when it's the city's fault.
Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor this year?
I don't want to say, and the reason why I don't, in the political world, and because I live in the neighborhood and own a business, there's always the other team, and already there was a sign in front of my establishment that was not on my property, but it was placed there that I did not approve of. It wasn't someone, it was a Harris County representative that was election, which I have nothing to do with. I don't vote for that. And a gentleman asked me, or put it up and asked me basically if I would tear it down. I said it's not on my property, it's on the city of Houston, so I'm not going to tear it down. I don't believe in, I think everybody has the right to speak out. That's what America's great about, place their signs. And I want to make sure that people, you know, I realize I wasn't the one that did that, but going back to your question, it's not good. I do have a candidate I am voting for. I think this person, individual, will be a great one, but because I'm a small business owner and there's the other vicious side of the world, I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Well, people go to the ballot box this November and they come to the at-large number one race, why should they vote for you as opposed to the other candidates in that race?
Well, one, they should vote for me because I am an individual who knows the city of Houston. I've lived here most of my life. I moved here when I was 1 year old. I've been a leader my entire life, from my class president to the PAPAs. I have 27 years of experience in service, and a Houston City Rep is a public servant, and that basically means they're representing the city of Houston and the people of the city of Houston. And I have more experience in service than most anyone who sits at the council today. So I am a hands-on business owner. I understand how hard and difficult it is to be out there fighting for something that you enjoy and you believe in and a dream, and I will help allow new entrepreneurs. I will try to find finances and show them how to use grants and loans and help them go through the city and get through the hard process it is to open up a small business. And one other thing that I want to say that I will be strongly, if you get supported, is bringing guests, great guest service to government offices. Meaning that if you go down to the permit office, wouldn't it be great to have somebody that says, hey, how are you doing today? What can we do for you today? You're opening a new business? It's almost like they're the police down there beating you, you know, not the police beating you or anything, but the police, like, they're in charge and they are going to, like, make your life difficult, like the bad cop. And we don't want bad cops. We want great cops. We want great cops in our neighborhoods, and we want great cops and the great representatives down at the city of Houston. So if we could bring great service in all areas, I know we're not going to be perfect, because even in the hospitality business, we're not perfect. But if we all helped it, we're affected by the city of Houston, worker employees in almost every area. So it'd be great to have good service in that. But I'm basically, you know, if I don't know something about a program or an issue, I will be the jury member. I will listen to both sides and think what and make the call of what I think is going to be best to make our city become a wonderful, great city to visit and to live in.
All right. Bonnie Ellsworth, thank you very much for talking to me today.